How's it going, Yankee fans? Welcome back to Fireside Yankees with your boys, Alex and Ryan. So the Yankees had a pretty dang impressive win yesterday. Didn't do anything offensively for the first seven innings. And then suddenly, eighth inning, Soto has a little bit of action. He had a great game yesterday. And the ninth inning rolls around, and the Yankees somehow start putting runs on the board against Toronto's bullpen. And Jose Trevino, an unlikely hero in this story with an RBI single and, you know, tying the game. And the Yankees go on to win with Aaron Judge stepping up in a big spot. They needed him to produce. And he ropes a line drive down the left field line. Obviously, this was not the way you want a game to go. You want to be a little bit more dominant earlier on, have a little bit more leverage. But the Yankees find ways to win in this one, show some resiliency and some grit. And sometimes that's what it takes. You got to be resilient. And they did do that away against a really solid Toronto team. This American League East is shaping out to be, I mean, every team's above 500. This is going to be an absolute gauntlet to get through. The Orioles are very, very good, and it's going to be really fun to watch the Yankees try to stay afloat and try to keep winning games, because ultimately that's what it's going to take. We have another three-game series against the Rays starting tomorrow. So today we're going to take a look at some really good impressive performances over the last couple of weeks, notably that of Clay Holmes, and he's been excellent. A little bit of a heart attack situation with him. You never know when he's going to burn you, but he's been really solid getting out of some trouble. You know, that ground ball rate obviously is essential to his play. That sinker slider strategy is imperative. And then we're going to take a look at Stanton. Ryan actually found a tweak in his batting stance that has resulted in substantial improvements. So we're going to talk about that, some good research that he has done there. And I'm excited to break it down. Ryan, how you doing today, my friend?
I mean, I'm doing great. When you're talking about the New York Yankees coming off a win like yesterday's, and as you mentioned, you know, they were in a weird situation because on one hand, you look at that game and you watch that for the first eight innings, you really argue, and you go, wow, this game stinks, and you're kind of already packing your bags, getting ready to go, all right, you know, they got swept, they're going to roll into New York, losing their hold, their grapple of first place, and trying to reel against the Tampa Bay Rays team that always plays them tough. Instead, you know, you have that great performance from Juan Soto, as you mentioned. You have that big home run from Giancarlo Stanton to kind of really punch Eric Swanson in the face and just put him on the back foot immediately. And when the Yankees started to rally, they really just got things going. And of course, Clay Holmes comes in and saves the game. And I think Clay Holmes has kind of been such an important part of what they've been able to do because he's a close the door, right? Like he's, you know, obviously, yes, there have been some, I guess, games where you're just kind of holding your breath. You think of the 9-8 win where the Yankees almost blow a huge lead, an 8-2 lead. You think of the game they played, the two games they played in Houston where it came down to a diving grab from Verdugo and a great throw at the plate from Soto for Holmes to get out of it. Look, I think Clay Holmes has gotten a little bit lucky at times, sure, but on top of that, he's gotten ground balls, right? He's gotten unlucky in certain stretches as well. His only blown save was a poorly, and I truly mean a poor defensive play on the hands of Anthony Volpe, who just made a really poor throw to first, and that resulted in a runner being at third, and then Carroll kind of chopped the ball, a Baltimore chop over Clay Holmes' head to blow that game in Arizona. The Yankees ended up winning, so it didn't really matter, that kind of thing, but ultimately, Alex, like I think that Clay Holmes has just gotten a lot of ground balls and a lot of soft contact. And, you know, when you're giving up soft contact and you're not giving up home runs, yeah, you put yourself in a position where you can get out of it, right? You think of that double in Cleveland where you're like, oh, my God, is he going to blow this thing? And he just bears down. Look, I don't think Clay Holmes, Clay Holmes gets enough credit for being as good as he's been. He's top 10 in ERA, FIP, WAR, win probability, added ground ball percentage since the Yankees acquired him in 2021. Yeah, you can say, I'd rather have, Devin Williams. Sure, anyone would rather have Devin Williams. But if the bar is you're not the second best reliever in baseball, you're not good enough, then what are we really doing here, right? Like, yeah, he's not as good as Edwin Diaz, but we've known this, right? You'd say, well, what about, you know, why did the Yankees go get Josh Hader? Why didn't they go get David Bednar? And those guys have blown saves left and right. Actually, Clay Holmes has better numbers than both those guys over the last couple of years. So, you know, I think in the grand scheme of things, Clay Holmes just gets underappreciated in this constant, like, vacuum of pressure to be as good as like a Mariano Rivera. And I know somebody in the comment section is going to say, it's never easy with him. I never feel okay or confident when he's on the mound. Yeah, I mean, if you feel good with a one-run lead in the ninth inning, I think you might be a psychopath, right? Like, I don't know if there's a single one-run game I've ever watched in my life, Alex, where I go, That's fine. No, I'm always going to be a little nervous. The ninth inning, there's a chance, you know, something that happened that we did to the Blue Jays happens to us. In fact, we had that happen to us. We had a game in hand in Cleveland, and then some poor infield defense completely blows it, and we got walked off. So, you know, overall, Alex, I just think that it's important to note that Clay Holmes is just really good, and the numbers say he's really good, and win probability added adjusts for those high leverage situations. So if you want to say he's not clutch, he's one of the 10 most valuable relievers in baseball, according to that metric. You know, if you don't think Clay Holmes is good, I just think you're wrong, right? I think we're at the point of time where it's no longer an opinion. You can't really have an opinion on this. He's a really good reliever. He is a more than capable closer, and he's provided a ton of value to the Yankees. He's going to have some rough stretches. He's going to blow some games. Every reliever does. Every reliever goes through ups and downs. He's so much better than people give him credit for in this fan base.
I mean, he's one of those arms that the Yankees have leaned into. I know this is his final year before he's a free agent, so it's an imperative year for him just that he produces at a high level. But, you know, you're looking at a 0.00 ERA over 9 innings pitched. Yeah, the strikeouts are down. The ground ball rate, 73.3%. You're not going to find many players or many arms that produce a ground ball rate at nearly a 75%. That means almost 75%, or rather, yeah, close to 75% of balls that are put in play are on the ground. And most of the time, you're going to get those outs. Those are going to be right to your infielders. And, you know, with that sinker moving the way it does, it's impressive. The interesting thing to me, though, Ryan, his expected ERA is 3.91. Why do you think that is? Why is his expected ERA so high, but yet he has a 0.00? Is he getting a little bit lucky in some of these situations?
I mean, I think part of it is just not getting a lot of strikeouts. And then on top of that, you know, I also just think it's a matter of, like, the contact can be hard, but on the ground. And that might throw some people off. I think as long as you keep the ball on the ground, you know, this defense has definitely not done a good job at this, but I think that's kind of this is how you envision things going, because last year they were pretty strong defensively despite their offensive issues. If you're able to get the ball on the ground, you can probably get an out of it, right? Like, it's usually harmless contact. He doesn't give up home runs. As long as he doesn't give up home runs, I'm good with the quality of contact he allows. And yeah, I think once the strikeouts pick up, like, I think the expected ERA will get a little better. So that's kind of where I think there's a contention there from StatCast. It's just a lack of strikeouts early on.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not something I'm really concerned about, to be honest with you. It's more so just I was asking the question because I feel like it's, you know, interesting to see that expected ERA is so much higher than his actual ERA. But with that being said, it is a really good situation when you have Clay Holmes and Ian Hamilton as your setup punch-out guy. You know what I mean? Like, you have that 1-2 punch where Hamilton's coming in. He's setting you up in the eighth inning, and he's churning through batters. Like, Ian Hamilton, I mean, in my opinion, his stuff is, and you probably would agree with this, is some of the nastiest in the game. Like, his stuff is gross. It's lethal. And then you have Clay Holmes coming up after him. So you have this slambio, this slider changeup combination that it's dipping and diving and moving, and you're like, you can't hit it. It's a frisbee. And then you get Clay Holmes with the velocity right after it with his sinker that's moving like you just don't know where it's going to go, like a freaking heat-seeking missile. And then when you do make contact, 75% of the time, you're hitting the ground ball. That level of 1-2 combo, those are the type of combinations that win you championships, right? Those are the type of combinations when it's Game 7 of the World Series and you're up by one run and you need to get through those difficult situations. These two guys are the ones you call on to get the job done. It's a luxury, to be quite honest with you. And the fact that the Yankees found these guys, they were next to nothing. They get Clay Holmes for nothing. They got Ian Hamilton for nothing. And now they become one of the most lethal setup and closers the game has to offer. That's a big kudos to Matt Blake. That's a big kudos to the Yankee organization for identifying talent where others are not looking. It's impressive. They do this every year. They do this all the time. This is nothing unusual for this pitching staff. So with that being said, let's transition over to another player who's had a really, really good start to this season. In Giancarlo Stanton, yes, the on-base percentages, they can always be better. But the truth of the matter is he's making better contact than we've seen him make in 3 years. He is looking like the player that we initially acquired from the Marlins 4 years ago. Ryan, you identified a really interesting difference in his swing. What are the results of that change? What does the production look like after he's made that update? Because there are pitches that he was missing last year inside that he is now smashing for home runs and putting in play and ripping to left field on line drives. Do you think that this change has attributed to those successes?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, one of the big things I noticed with Giancarlo Stanton is his hands are much more down. And actually, Sam, he posted this on our TikTok, and it looks a lot clearer there. You can see it a little better than the one I put on Twitter. But when you look at his hand placement, his hands are a lot closer to his body. And I think that's giving him an earlier twitch, kind of giving him a little less time or a little more, a little greater margin for error. He can kind of jump a little bit early on his swing. And I think that's why he chased a lot early. If you notice, he has a huge spike in his chase rate. And early on, the swing decisions were rough. He almost had, I think his zone swing percentage was like 10 percentage points higher than his O swing percentage. That's terrible. It means he's basically swinging as much out of zone as he is in zone. He was just not making the right decisions, but I think he was pushing himself to say, hey, I've got to swing a little bit earlier. I've got to attack this ball out in front. And some fans may not like hearing this, but guys are more productive when they're attacking the ball out in front. Yes, Juan Soto can attack the ball late and let it travel and still hit it 404 feet to center field and run super low strikeout rates, all that stuff. But that's Juan Soto. Not everybody is a 25-year-old generational talent in the middle of their prime. Giancarlo Stanton's 34. He's going to have to kind of cheat a little bit because he doesn't have that same twitch he was when he was younger. That's life. His bat speed's actually shot up a little bit, but I think it's not because he's gotten more, like, it's like he's stronger or anything like that. It's because his bat path is also a little bit flatter. It's about 3.1 degrees flatter. And so if you kind of just think about the natural motion of movement, it's a lot easier to chop down faster than it is to chop up, right? You think of the forces of gravity, all that stuff, just kind of how your body rotates and everything. I think that flatter swing for Stanton's giving him a little more zone coverage. And it means that, yeah, he can swing out in front, which usually results in a lot of chases and a lot of whiffs, but that flatter swing kind of combats the whiffs part of it. He's going to be a little more aggressive. I don't think he's going to walk as much as we've been used to seeing that him walk, but I think that's fine. I think we're just seeing a more version of Giancarlo Stanton that's a lot more built to jump pitchers and kind of get out early and get that bat head out to the ball an earlier part of that that ball's flight path. A hitter I kind of want to comp him to is JD Martinez from last year, because we saw him make a very similar tweak. His O swing percentage in 2019 was 31.9%. With the Los Angeles Dodgers in 2023, that jumped to 36.9%. He swung and missed a lot more. His strikeout rate in 2022 was 24.3%, 31.3% in 2023, walked just 7.1% of the time, but the slugging percentage went up. It was 572. The WRC plus was 135. He hit 33 home runs in 113 games. Now, granted, he does have a little bit of better batted ball distribution than Stanton. And, you know, he is a really great hitter in his own right, but he was a few years older than Stanton is right now. He was 35, or he was in his age 36 season, or he turned 36 during the year. Stanton's not going to turn 35 or 36, excuse me, until next year. I think that's a very similar comparison here. Both guys who still struggle with breaking balls, a guy who still kind of struggle with velocity, two guys who kind of have injury issues. I view Stan as the kind of guy who has really taken steps forward to modernize his game and, in a sense, kind of compensate for a lack of twitch. We tracked his bat speed going down. That was a big talking point for us late in the season last year. This is kind of his way to cheat a little bit. And look, people are going to say it's a hot streak. He'll get cold again. And look, he could. I'm not like a Stanton super defender at this point. I've kind of always had my doubts about him throughout the course of the offseason. But Alex, if this is the version of Giancarlo Stanton we get, where he's going to hit the ball a ton, even if he strikes out, strike out 200 times this year. I don't care. If he's hitting a lot of home runs, if the OBP starts with a 3 and he's slugging 500, that's going to be a win for me, because this version of Giancarlo Stanton, Alex, is transformative for this lineup.
It absolutely is. And we talked about this before the season. The catalyst for the Yankees was always going to be Stanton. Why? Because we knew Judge is going to pick it up. We knew he's great. We know he's great. We know Juan Soto is a generational talent. We know Rizzo is okay. We know Gleyber's good. He'll get better. And we know Verdugo's been career slightly above average hitter. But Stanton's the one piece of the puzzle that you just couldn't predict. 3 years of consecutive regression. 3 years of injury-prone play. What was there to suggest that Stanton was going to turn things around? And kudos to him for taking it to the chin like a man and coming out on the other side of that adversity with absolute... Ryan, you freaking stop it right now. I can't say anything in this podcast.
No, but I got what you're saying. He put in the work and he made the adjustments. And I think it's a really good... I'm glad you brought up that he made the adjustments, because oftentimes when we're sitting here talking about like better or worse. We're talking about just the results, and we're never giving enough, or not that we never give enough, but fans as a whole, we rarely get to see the behind the scenes. And Alex, I think you can attest to this, the hard work that goes into just improving your game and changing it. So yeah, no, I fully agree. I'm sorry.
I saw the little smirk and I was like, oh no, what did I say? And I was going to be clipped in like an hour or two. So you'll probably see this moment on social media if you're listening on the podcast, the audio version. But yes, to round about it, Giancarlo Stanton's his work ethic has been excellent, and you see it in every part of his game. I know his top level speed is nothing to write home about. I don't even know how he was safe a couple days ago on that throw. I don't even know why the third base coach waved him home. He was so late, it wasn't even funny. Fortunately, catcher drops the ball, he slides, and it wasn't even much of a slide, it was more of a fall. The dude is just like, he's a statue of cement. Like, he falls over, he needs help to get back up. You know, it's just really great to see that even though he faced so much adversity, even though his back was against the wall, he's regressed for 3 years straight, he put in that time and work ethic. He thinned out, he slimmed down. The Yankees found a good model to maintain his stamina and fatigue levels. He's staying healthy, knock on wood. And the guy's seeing the ball better than we've seen in years, to be quite frank. And, you know, he's earned that right to be the lead, to be the cleanup hitter. He's earned it again, and I think that's where I kind of sit right now with this team, with this Yankees offense. If they're firing on all cylinders, and they will eventually, they'll pick it up. Stanton's gonna be the guy that makes it turn, because he's the middle point of that order, where he's either an RBI, he's a home run, he's a walk, or it's the end of the inning. You know what I mean? Like, that's where you see Rizzo's impact come into play. That's where you see the bottom half of the order get more involved. You know, Verdugo's heating up like crazy. Stanton's the turning point of that order, and if he gets on base, you're talking about an inning that maybe you walk away with one or no runs to an inning that you walk away with two or three runs. That's the difference of his impact and why it's so imperative that he plays at a high level. So I'm excited to see kind of how his growth compounds this season. But guys, always happy to hear perspectives down below on guys like Clay Holmes, we discussed earlier on the episode, Stanton's tweaks and his impact. The Yankees are seeing a lot of really good signs. It's actually, the funny thing is, it's the better players on this team, the more consistent guys, are the ones that are struggling. Gleyber Torres, you know, Volpe's been a little bit off the last two games. Judge has been off for weeks. You know, he finally had that big hit yesterday. We've seen the worst players on this team step up and supplement. You know, of course, Soto. He's been phenomenal. But then you think about, Trevino. The guy has, what, a 99 WRC plus right now? Like, what the hell? Who saw that coming? So it's impressive, to say the least. Eventually, this team's going to be clicking, and it's going to be fun to watch. So, guys, make sure to tune in. Make sure to keep on tab with the Fireside Yankees podcast. Like and subscribe, as always. And we'll catch you guys on the next episode.